I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of...
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
There we go. Did we do it? All right. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, April 9th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It's strange. You know, I was revisiting... It's strange, but there's nothing new under the sun is what I was thinking. And I was revisiting Ecclesiastes this morning and written by Solomon, at least that's kind of the general consensus over the years. And it's just fascinating, you know, nothing new under the sun. Everything that was is everything that will be. And, you know, can a person really find something that's new and say, hey, this is a new thing? And one of the most fascinating realizations of the author of Ecclesiastes is the fact that we don't recall the lessons of history. We don't now. And those who come after us will not either. It's a fascinating thing. You would think, I mean, common sense would tell you maybe there are some things we could learn, but we have been beguiled into believing, especially in this age, that somehow we have cornered the market on all knowledge and wisdom. And that's just not the case. That's simply not the case. You know, all the more so if you consider the possibility of entropy applying to information, knowledge, wisdom, that kind of stuff. If that's the case, then we're really fooling ourselves. We're really kidding ourselves. And so what has happened in the post-Gutenberg era that most people don't realize is that there's a certain coterie of folks who have been collecting the knowledge and the wisdom of the ages, the art of war and those kinds of things. And you can see that culminated in the likes of folks like Bertrand Russell, for example, who becomes the mentor to so many others and is a guy who is, you know, he sort of represents that amalgamation of information, knowledge, and wisdom throughout the ages. And then sort of secretly telling the ruling oligarchy that guys like Aldous Huxley say always has existed and presumably always will. Telling those guys secretly, hey, listen, here are the lessons. We need to learn these lessons and know them overtly or consciously or whatever. We need to be aware of these lessons. And then we also need to propagandize the masses to behave according to these lessons. And it's a fascinating thing. I think it's a really fascinating thing. So a few, I find Ecclesiastes humorous. Some of my favorite passages are Ecclesiastes 1, 17 and 18, for example. I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I realize that this also is striving after the wind, because in much wisdom there is much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. It's really, and then of course there are some others. I mention from time to time that I think the meaning of life is sort of summed up in Ecclesiastes 3:22. I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot, for who will bring him to see what will occur after him? And then, you know, you might argue, unless you read through the entire book, it's easy to argue that the author of Ecclesiastes is pretty cynical, has experienced much, and finds that it's all vanity of vanities and striving after the wind. Ecclesiastes 10:19 is another fun verse. Men prepare a meal for enjoyment, and wine makes life merry, and money is the answer to everything. What? The Bible says that? Well, you know, there's a bit of context that you have to apply. And similarly, you know, Ecclesiastes 8:15, so I commended pleasure, for there is nothing good for a man under the sun except to eat and to drink and to be merry, and this will stand by him in his toils throughout the days of his life, which God has given him under the sun. Last but not least, one of my favorites, you know, you get to the end, what is the point of all of this? Well, chapter 12, verse 1, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. Not if, but, you know, before, in other words, they will. And the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. And then the end of the chapter, but beyond this, my son, be warned, the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And so it's an interesting book, and I think, you know, anyone who has listened to this network for any length of time can relate to the experiences of the author of Ecclesiastes. And to explain, I'll give you a few examples. So Ecclesiastes 1, 3, and verses 8 through 11. What advantage does man have in all his work, which he does under the sun? All things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That which has been, that which will be, is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see this, it is new? Already it has existed for ages which were before us. There is no remembrance of earlier things and also of the later things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still. And that's, you know, you can just sort of hear the futility in it. And so then what's the point? Again, the end. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. And, you know, people talk about the third strand. Who is the third strand in this equation? And this is something that gets applied to marriages a lot as well. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7. Interesting stuff. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For the dream comes through much effort and the voice of a fool through many words. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow! Exclamation mark. Wow. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. Do not let your speech cause you to sin, and do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake. Whoa. I mentioned Proverbs chapter 4 and deceitful mouth and, you know, devious speech, deceptive speech yesterday. Do not let your speech cause you to sin, and do not let your do not say in the presence of a messenger of God that it was a mistake. I didn't mean that. It's plausibly deniable, but no. Why should God be angry on account of your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in many dreams and in many words there is emptiness. Rather, fear the Lord. And, you know, for that matter, there are a lot of passages that talk about how God judges the heart. 1 Samuel, what is it, 15-something. The picking of David, selection of David. Samuel the prophet says, that guy, that has to be your, that's your guy, right? I think it's 16, actually. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's one example. 1 Samuel 16:7. And then one of the most well-known is, of course, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Thoughts and intentions of the heart. Wow. A sword so sharp that it can pierce and divide without drawing blood. Now that's sharp. A scalpel would be considered a blunt instrument, like a baseball bat, compared to that. Or maybe, you know, something even more blunt than that. So, continuing Ecclesiastes 7:20-22. It's all interesting, the futility of all of these things. I didn't really get into the oppression, but it's just fascinating. Chapter 4. You know, so many of these things apply, I think, to America generally these days. I think we could go on for at length, but I won't do that. Well, before verses 20 through 22, how about, you know, wickedness seems to be spreading throughout America. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 2 through 4. It's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man. And the living takes it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For when a face is sad, a heart may be glad, may be happy. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. And that just sort of reminds me of the Bernaysian will to pleasure, you know, the Freudian Bernaysian will to pleasure that we've been lured into and seduced into over the past century, which is transitioning to the, or has transitioned to the will to power. And, so continuing, verse 12, wisdom is protection just as money is protection, but the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the lives of its possessors. Interesting. 20 through 22, indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. Also, do not take seriously all words which are spoken. Maybe this broadcast should be considered. So that you will not hear your servant cursing you. For you also have realized that you likewise have many times cursed others. How many times are people not completely honest about that? Chapter 8, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 8:8, no man has authority to restrain the wind with the wind, or authority over the day of death. And there is no discharge in the time of war, and evil will not deliver those who practice it. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I still recall Tim Russert talking to Ron Paul back in, what was it, 2006 or 7 on Meet the Press, and Ron Paul saying, I think these people believe the views they espouse, or that they propagate. And so even, you know, you have to think, even the Bertrand Russells of the world, it has to be exhausting. You know, evil will not deliver those who practice it. At some point, don't they run into the same issue? Last but not least, this passage. I mean, it's just interesting. Ecclesiastes 9 and into chapter 10. I have taken all this to my heart and explain it. That righteous men, wise men, and their deeds are in the hand of God. Man does not know whether it will be loved or hated. Anything awaits him. It is the same for all. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good, for the clean, and for the unclean, for the man who offers a sacrifice and the one who does not offer a sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. What's the point? Well, get to that when we come back. Stick around.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus.
$500 gets you two Commander memberships at Front Sight. $500 for two Commander memberships. Give one to whomever you would like.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Welcome back. A bit of an kind of an existentialist rant this morning, a la the book of Ecclesiastes. So, from chapter 9, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead. Whoever is joined with all the living, there is hope. Surely, a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten. And so there are similar passages in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 10. So then I have seen that the wicked buried those who used to go in and out from the holy place, and they are soon forgotten in the city where they did thus. this too is futility. Chapter 1, verse 11. There's no remembrance of earlier things, and also of the later things which will occur, there will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still. And, you know, the author of Ecclesiastes says, basically, in talking about the futility of all things, it's better not to have been born. The one who's not born doesn't have to suffer the oppression that the living and the dead suffer and have suffered respectively. So it's interesting. But chapter 2, this sort of echoes chapter 2. So I turn to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I know that one fate befalls them both. Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this too is vanity. For there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man, as with the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten. And how the wise man and the fool alike die. And this reminds me of, I mean, to some extent, you know, folks who have given their lives, and we've talked about many of them on this network. From time to time, I try to do my part in not forgetting the giants on whose shoulders we stand as we try to beat back the forces of tyranny and the thing that is kind of generally known as the World Revolutionary Movement. Speaking of things forgotten. So continuing. The author of Ecclesiastes writes in chapter 2, so I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor and all his striving with which he labors under the sun? Because all his days, his task is painful and grievous. Even at night, his mind does not rest. Who can relate? This too is vanity. And then a glimmer of hope. There is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and to tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him, capital H? For to a person who is good in his sight, capital H, he, capital H, has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. Some have wisdom and knowledge, a measure, but no joy. I would say that Bertrand Russell falls in that camp. For to the person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. While to the sinner, he is given the task of gathering and collecting so that he may give to the one who is good in God's sight. This too is vanity and striving after the wind. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
First hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, April 9th, 2021. And it's Friday, so phone lines are open. Local call in 512-248-8252. Again, 512-248-8252. That's if you have free long distance, which, you know, anybody calling from a cell phone presumably does. Toll-free call-in, otherwise, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So, contemplative, reflective, existential, cerebral, and yet simply practical and pragmatic, the book of Ecclesiastes. Timeless wisdom for all the ages. I don't know. I was sort of compelled and inclined to, And I started thinking about reading it yesterday. I think if you read Ecclesiastes all together, it seems to work better. And it's a short book. You can read it in, I don't know, less than an hour, even just sort of casually perusing it. But it just, it reminds me a lot of America. I think that America was founded on the premise of the timeless biblical wisdom for all the ages. And imagine if we weren't overawed by every superstition, taboo, and strategy of tension episode that was flashed before us in the media, to sort of borrow from H.L. Mencken. Imagine if we had the kind of solid footing that Ecclesiastes seems to provide, where there's really, I mean, there are no surprises. The author of Ecclesiastes has, even if you haven't experienced the life of the author of Ecclesiastes, I think some of us can relate, where you go through life and, you know, you start out as a young person thinking, you know, you have these idealistic visions and things, and you get a few years down the road, a few miles down the road, and you, those things are tempered, obviously, and you start to kind of realize that Ecclesiastes sums things up pretty darn well. Many of life's experiences, and some of us go through, especially a person who has come to the realization that, you know, we're told one thing, and this society that we're living in operates entirely different. You know, functionally speaking, practically speaking, it operates entirely different than what we're led to believe. And it's an astonishing realization to see that is, it should be painfully obvious to anyone with a pulse. And yet, so many people go along with the little dance, which I think validates, I think it was Ben Franklin who said most people die by the age of 25, they just wait for their bodies to catch up. It was something like that, something along those lines. Seems to underscore that point, and the frustration of frustration expressed throughout much of the book of Ecclesiastes, watching these kinds of things, and how futile and foolish all of it is. So, you know, I think, I don't know, I find it somewhat comforting to know that, you know, it's not just me. That, you know, Ecclesiastes is sort of the anti-gaslighting of the 21st American century, if you will. So continuing from chapter 9, verse 6, indeed, their love, their hate, and their zeal have already perished. And there will no longer, they will no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun. Go then, eat your bread in happiness and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. Let your clothes be white all the time, and let no oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with a woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he, capital H, has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability, for time and chance overtake them all. Moreover, man does not know his time. Like fish caught in a treacherous net and birds trapped in a snare, so the sons of men are ensnared at an evil time when it suddenly befalls them. I guest hosted the National Intel Report yesterday, and, you know, we talked about some of the folks who I would say have been selfless in their devotion to their fellow men, their fellow Americans in particular, and trying to gather pearls of wisdom and sort through the controversies and the lies that we've been fed, particularly in the, you know, coming forward into the 20th and 21st centuries. And so this sort of reminds me of them, you know, an evil time suddenly falls on them. So the sons of men are ensnared at an evil time when it suddenly falls on them. And there are a number of folks who I think have tried to help us all out and have, as a result, met with an untimely demise just as a brief aside, and I guess another brief aside, those who wonder, you know, if you hold to, let's call it the conspiratorial view of history versus the accidental, just to generalize, things don't really, what happens by accident? And so anyway, this is one of those lines in the sand where it's hard to conceive of something, you know, a plot that might be generations old, as someone like Congressman Larry McDonald might put it, if there isn't some kind of spiritual realm involved. It's difficult to conceptualize that. Why would people do that? But if you can, you know, if you can entertain that view for a moment, that there might be a spiritual realm that influences this physical reality we experience, then it's not difficult to imagine that maybe there are spiritual forces that are sort of listening into conversations that people are having. And then maybe if you hide something somewhere, there's a whisper given to a person, hey, you should look there. And I think that's sort of that point is validated in Ecclesiastes 10:20. Furthermore, in your bedchamber, do not curse a king. And in your sleeping rooms, do not curse a rich man. Those are private areas, right? These are the most far removed from the public, generally speaking, unless you watch reality TV these days. But so in your bedchamber, do not curse a king. And in your sleeping rooms, do not curse a rich man. For a bird of the heavens will carry the sound, and the winged creature will make the matter known. So we have the old aphorism, a little birdie told me. So many expressions we used to use in America were biblically based. The writing is on the wall. Those kinds of things. So continuing, verse 13, chapter 9. Also, this I came to see as wisdom under the sun, and it impressed me. There was a small city with few men in it, and a great king came to it, surrounded it, and constructed large siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he delivered the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the wisdom of the poor is despised, and his words are not heeded. The words of the wise heard in quietness are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. And similarly, continuing in chapter 10, verse 1, dead flies make a perfume's oil stink, so a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. One of my favorite passages in Proverbs is Proverbs 12:1, which seems to echo that point. A wise man's heart directs him toward the right. And this is interesting. I know that Phil Robertson, you know, Duck Dynasty Phil Robertson, has pointed this out, Ecclesiastes 10:2. And this is sort of humorous in the I don't know, political landscape of the 20th and 21st century. In particular, a wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him toward the left. Continuing, even when the fool walks along the road, his sense is lacking, and he demonstrates to everyone that he is a fool. If the ruler's temper rises against you, do not abandon your position, because composure allays great offenses. And that's interesting, you know. Have you ever been offended and then you become offensive in response, and then in the end you're the one who ends up apologizing because the other person's composure seems to allay great offenses, as Ecclesiastes 10:4 puts it. All right, so speaking of America, you know, chapter 6 reminds me of America too. So chapter 6 is brief, 12 verses. It reads, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is prevalent among men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that his soul lacks nothing of all that he desires, yet God has not empowered him to eat from them. For a foreigner enjoys them. This is vanity and severe affliction." You wonder if someone like George Soros suffers from this kind of a thing and therefore has a loathsome disdain for his fellow man as a result. Continuing, "If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, however many they be, but his soul is not satisfied with good things and he does not even have a proper burial, then I say, better the miscarriage than he, for it comes in futility and goes into obscurity, and its name is covered in obscurity." See, better not to be born. So he's continuing. He says, "It never sees the sun and it never knows anything. It is better off than he. Even if the other man lives 1,000 years twice and does not enjoy good things, do not all go to one place? All a man's labor is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not satisfied. For what advantage does the wise man have over the fool? What advantage does the poor man have knowing how to walk before the living? What the eyes see is better than what the soul desires. This too is futility and striving after the wind. Whatever exists has already been named, and it is known what man is, for he cannot dispute with him who is stronger than he is. For there are many words which increase futility. What then is the advantage to man? For who knows what is good for a man during his lifetime, during the few years of his futile life? He will spend them like a shadow. For who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun?" It's an interesting juxtaposition to this Bernaysian milieu that we have been indoctrinated into for generations now in America, and this idea that we're going to, you know, we all can be, science will make us all beautiful, and we'll all live forever, and we are smarter than we've ever been, but you know what? Science and technology will make us even smarter and better and more beautiful. And life is, even though, as Huxley, Aldous Huxley put it, you know, I would say we're in that place now where we're in sort of a self-imposed panopticon, a somewhat self-imposed prison, where most people are being brought to a point where, as he put it, they will love their servitude. And a condition of life that he said is, how did he put that? People ought not to enjoy, or something like that. I forget exactly how he put it. Versus the honesty of the, you know, the author of Ecclesiastes. Who knows what is good for a man during his lifetime? This is why I think it's so easy to fool people, or at least part of why, during the few years of his futile life, but we're told that we're going to live forever. We're all forever young, and we're going to live forever. He will spend them like a shadow. A lot of us can relate to that. The older folks among us tell us about that. Tell us, you know, give us that warning. For who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? And it's just, you know, interesting thought. So then what do you do? Well, again, Ecclesiastes 3:22, I've seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? And of course, in conclusion, you know, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Fear God, keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. You know, obedience is really kind of the overarching message. It's a funny thing, obedience. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back. You know, in the past couple of months, my focus has been different. What can we do? You know, what can we do about the crazy things that are happening? And We all make choices. We all have choices to make. And I think, you know, we have to at some point ask ourselves, you know, we can talk all we want about the bad things that are happening and being done, the evil that's being perpetrated in our midst. But, you know, I think we have to ask ourselves, have I done all that I can do? What can I do? And have I done all that I can do? And, you know, I've sort of been asking that question, and the answer is no and no. And there are simple, practical little things that we can do. Where is that? I have to grab that. I'll grab that in the next segment here. I was looking at something. There's a little, one of the little playbooks at a golf course in Montana, Buffalo Hill. Last time I played it, I thought I shot better than my score reflected, but I digress. So they talk about being an example in the playbook, and that's not unique. That's something, again, I think that golf is sort of a microcosm of life in many ways. It's Masters Week. On yesterday's National Intel Report, I talked generally about Tiger Woods and the relation to other things, you know, Martin Luther King's assassination, the anniversary 5 days ago, April 4, 1968. I usually talk about that historically. That was Easter Sunday this year, so we didn't talk about it. But, you know, usually we play Bobby Kennedy's extemporaneous remarks the evening of Martin Luther King's assassination and how different the response was there, where Bobby Kennedy spoke in Indianapolis versus the rest of the country, which even Wikipedia says the rest of the country erupted in riots and was on the country was on fire, was in flames that evening. And yet where Bobby Kennedy spoke, the country slept in peace. And so there are simple, practical things we can do, all of us, that do make a difference. We're encouraged in Sun Tzu, Art of War, or Machiavellian sort of fashion, you know, to borrow from John in New York, I think it was, who called on yesterday's National Intel Report. We're encouraged to believe that we're too small and insignificant. Nothing that we do will make a difference. But actually, you know, even golf courses encourage people, members and players and so forth, to be an example. Everyone should be an example. And if everyone was, wouldn't that make a difference? If we weren't just stumbling and bumbling somewhat or mostly accidentally through life, if we were more intentional and thought of ourselves more as an example, I don't know, maybe we would make a difference for the better. And, you know, not to do so is, I would say, arguably another one of those evils under the sun the author of Ecclesiastes talks about. That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
true.